This is Tim Mahoney, pastor of the Moss Bluff Pentecostals. I hope you enjoy this audio broadcast from one of our services. Now open your heart and open your mind to the Word of God.
Song of Solomon, which is the book that I do not recommend you have your children read. That book was kind of forbidden in our home. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 6. It says, I opened for my beloved, but my beloved had turned away and was gone. My heart leaped when he spoke. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called for him, but he gave no answer. The watchman who went about the city found me, and they struck me. They wounded me. All I was doing was searching for my beloved. All I was doing was searching for the one that I loved his voice. But whenever I went out into the city, the men of that city, they struck me and they wounded me. This is the story of a Shulamite woman. She walked out looking for the man she loved, and in the course, she was wounded and she was hurt. Many believe that she was raped. The keepers of the wall took my veil away from me. They took away anything that was pure and innocent. I charge you, she says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem. Here's a woman that's been bruised. Here's a woman that's been hurt. And she says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem. She's looking up in the faces of the ones who've hurt her. If you find my beloved, I need you to tell him something for me. If you find the one that I love, I need you to tell him something. I need you to tell him that I am lovesick. I know what you've done to me, and I know how you've hurt me, and I know all the past regrets and the past mistakes that I've made. But you see, His majesty and His voice is so appealing to me that even what you've done to me cannot remove me from how lovesick I am for Him. Jesus' name. So this morning, I'm not going to talk to you about better. I want to preach to you this morning on this word, this combination word, lovesick. Lovesick. I am sick with love. If I could have 100% participation in this, could we all just lift both our hands and just briefly tell Him how in love we are? I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Jesus' name. Satchel Paige was one of the first African-American baseball players. He was one of the main characters that broke the color barrier in the Major League Baseball. He came in with another man by the name of Jackie Robinson. Page received many death threats in his life. And at one point in his life, he was quoted as saying, "Work like you don't need the money. Love like you've never been hurt. And dance like no one is watching." That term, love like you've never been hurt, really stood out to me. Whenever I met a man in August of 2006 by the name of Gary Carter. Gary Carter was wearing a dark suit, a white shirt, and a tie. And I was sitting in his office. I had a check in my hand, and I was going to hand this check over to him for my first semester of Bible college. I noticed that in this man's office on his desk, he had some photos of him and his daughter, and he had some pictures on the wall of some other things. I never really thought much about the photos until one day he walked into the classroom that I was sitting, and he told the story about how he was coming in from the airport from a conference, and his wife was going to pick him up. Him and his wife and his daughter were on the way to the airport, and in the course of traveling, there were two young men who had just recently robbed a convenience store. And these two young men jumped into their pickup truck and sped out of this convenience store that they had just robbed. And in the course of flying away, they T-boned Gary Carter's wife in the side door where she was driving, and she died. Word later came, whenever he got off the plane, that his wife had passed away. And standing in the courtroom, looking in the faces of these two men, he said, "You know, there's absolutely nothing I can do to bring my wife back. There's absolutely nothing you can do to bring my wife back. And if I hate you, then I am doing nothing but bittering my own soul." And he looked those two young men in the face and he said, "I forgive you." And he asked for their release. He had learned how to love like he had never been hurt. This woman in Song of Solomon, she had a lover. She had a man that consumed her thoughts. It consumed her ever waking moment. And she wakes up to find that he's not in the house. And so she leaves in the night to go find the man that she loves. And on the way out, she's hurt and she's knocked down. And her purity is taken from her. And her response in her hurt state is, "If you see the man that I love, can you tell him that I'm lovesick?" Because the majesty of his face was greater than the hurt that she embraced. And God looked down at all of humanity and said, I feel like they're lost, or I know that they're lost, that they're separated from me. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to step off of my heavenly throne and I'm going to seek and to save that which was lost.
That's right.
He's like, "I am so lovesick for these people. I am so lovesick that I am willing. I am so willing to get out of my comfort zone and go embrace them. And so Jesus steps out of heaven and comes to earth. Many of us in this room have been hurt. The old cliche says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. We find that as we go through life to be extremely untrue, because we are hurt by others. We are hurt by words. We are hurt by those people that we trust. And our hurt leads to pain and rejection. Unfairness, rumors, misunderstandings, belittlement, comparisons, loss of reputation, loss of friendships, and we are people, therefore we get hurt. Brutally, viciously, heartlessly, publicly crushed, hurt. And Jesus said, you've heard it been said, you are to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Do good to those that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Why do I have to love my enemies? And the reason why Jesus said that the Father requires you to love your enemies is this. It's actually Matthew 5 and 45. He says the reason why is that you may be children of your Father which is in heaven. Yes. You want to know why you need to love like you've never been hurt? The reason why is so that you can be a child of your heavenly Father.
That's right.
Apparently, if we hate those who hurt us, then we are not a child of God. I know that every country song in the world tells us that everyone is a child of God. But the truth is that it's not biblical. God said, Jacob have I created, but Israel have I formed. We must take the journey from creation being born to formation being formed in the image of Jesus. For as many as believed receive power to become the sons of God. Believe, receive, become. Once you believe in Jesus and you receive His Spirit and you become a child of God, you become formed into the image of Jesus. And that image says that you have to learn to love like you've never been hurt. Jesus is the greatest example, in my opinion, of this principle. It began in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed all night long. And Luke told us of how his sweat became great drops of blood. It's actually a medical condition called hematidrosis. It's associated with a high degree of psychological pain and stress. What happens is that the severe anxiety causes a release in chemicals that breaks down the capillaries in the sweat glands. And as a result, blood will mix with your sweat and it comes pouring out of your body. Also, this condition would cause your skin to become extraordinarily sensitive. Who's ever had the flu before? No one's ever had the flu? Whenever you have the flu, do you want people to touch you? Do you want people to get around you? Your response is, get away from me. Don't talk to me. Don't touch me. Don't look at me. I have the flu and I'm tired. Leave me alone. That is exactly how Jesus feels at this moment. And he's experiencing this pain. And he's bleeding. And he's sweating blood. Which brings me to the next point of this dreadful night. The Roman flogging. He was flogged 39 times. The Bible actually says 40 save one. 39 times from his shoulders, down his back, down his hips, all the way down. He's flogged. The source of the flogging was a whip braided leather, thongs of metal balls woven into them. And they would take this whip, hit him, and this metal in this whip that they had ingrained into the leather, it would stick into his skin. And whenever they would flip their wrists, what it would do would literally pull the skin off of his back. It wasn't just hitting him. They weren't hitting him. That was not the purpose of a Roman flogging. The purpose of a Roman flogging is to pull all of the skin off of your back. So they would hit, twist, that sinks those metal balls into your skin. And whenever you rip off, you are literally pulling the skin off of the person that you're flogging. 39 of them. So when Jesus goes to the cross, there is no skin on his back. Only his spine is exposed. And during this process, he's carrying this cross up this hill, and he is blindfolded. If you're really, think about the pain he's experiencing. So we can kind of get a small glimpse of this Roman flogging. You ever hit your funny bone? Anybody ever hit your funny bone? Yeah? Take pliers, grab onto the funny bone with a set of pliers, and just start twisting. See how that feels. That's a small taste of what Jesus is experiencing. And as he carries this cross, I really hope. I know that my description of what's happening this night doesn't do it justice. I understand that. But I hope it means something to you. Yes, and he's carrying this up, and they're spitting in his face. If you're really the Son of God, if you're really the Son of God, prophesy. Tell me who you are. Yet Isaiah said that he was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, a sheep before his shearers dung. Yet he opened not his mouth. He never breathed a word. And he was brought to the place where they could stick the cross in the ground. They nailed his hands, not just with any nails though, but with nails the size of a 6 to 8 inch railroad spike. Actually, it wasn't in his hands, because your hands could slip off. They actually got you right here. In the nails, they went straight between those bones right there on both sides, and they've got him laying on the ground, pounding these railroad spikes into his arms. And his feet, it's very important to understand where his feet are at this time. His feet, whenever he's laying down, they have him kind of with his knees at an angle. And the reason why is because they need him to be able to breathe on the cross. If he's straight up, you can't breathe. But if you're at an angle, in this in or this exhaled position, whenever you push up, you can inhale. And he's constantly for hours going up and down, trying to grasp a breath. And whenever he grasped a breath up on the cross, the words that come out of his mouth are, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." Are you serious? Are you serious? That's the times that you're going to say after everything you just went through? Well, you see, I had this great relationship going on with these people, and then they sinned and they broke away from the relationship, and I was looking for them and I couldn't find them, so I left where I was and I went and searched for them. I went and searched for these people. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And in the midst of searching, I was beaten and I was hurt. But if you find those people, you tell them that I am lovesick and that I care about them. And you tell them that they're forgiven of everything. He learned to love like he had never been hurt. We cannot allow bitterness and resentment and pain. Well, you don't know what I've gone through. You don't know what my family's gone through. You don't know what my children are going through. No, I don't. And pardon the harshness and the frankness of this comment, but I really don't care. Because I don't have to care. Because He does. And He said that you need to learn to love like you've never been hurt. Amen. You know, I'll follow Jesus as long as the blessings keep coming. I'll follow Jesus as long as He's healing the sick. I'll follow Jesus as long as He's blessing me. But what about when you're hurt? What about when Jesus is saying, love your enemies? Yes. Will you still follow? He wants to know if you can love like you've never been hurt.
Yes, indeed.
And He will say to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Come here, Brady. Come see. Let me tell you why you need to love your enemies. The reason why you need to love your enemies is because you have to take up your cross daily. That I may know Him. That I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. And in the fellowship of His suffering. Lay on the ground. So, Brady wants to die daily. Brady wants to follow Jesus. Brady wants to pick up his cross and follow Him. So, Brady knows that he must crucify his flesh daily. This is a form of repentance. So Brady can take this hand, and with this hand, he can nail it himself. Okay? Well, guess what? One hand's nailed. He can't get the other one. So he can't be like Jesus without somebody else coming over here and doing it for him. You know what your enemies are? They are simply the people that just so happen to be in your life that makes you more like Jesus. Don't curse them. Bless them. You know what? If you wouldn't be in my life, then I couldn't be like Jesus. You are simply a tool that helps me follow Jesus.
Amen.
Following Jesus comes with some things. It's denying yourself some things. You got to deny yourself sin. You have to deny yourself revenge. You have to deny yourself hatred. You have to deny yourself lust. You have to deny yourself bitterness. It comes with a cross. It comes with learning to love like you've never been hurt. And when you learn to love like you've never been hurt, you know what? I always get irritated whenever I hear people say, oh, whenever you preach on love, it's just like this sappy feeling thing. There ain't nothing sappy about love. It is hard. And I hate loving people sometimes. Just being honest, there's a lot. I can make a list right now. If you give me a piece of paper and a pen, I'll make you a list of people that I hate to love, but I'll love them anyways. And I'm sure you got a list as well. But guess what? Those people, they're blessings to me. They are wonderful blessings because they're making me like Jesus. And when I learn to love them, redemption comes into my life. When I learn to love like I've never been hurt, love comes. Forgiveness comes. Hope comes. Because bitterness is nothing but rat poison that you're expecting them to die by you eating it. That's all bitterness is. It will feel as massive a load whenever you let go. Peace will come. Condemnation will leave. For there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh. See, your flesh says, let's get even. Your flesh says, let's have resentment and bitterness. Your flesh says, I am justified in my actions. That's what the flesh says. But we don't walk in the flesh, but we walk in the Spirit. We can either be in the world or we can be in Christ. And in Christ, there's peace. There's hope. There's a good night's rest. In Christ is wise decisions. In Christ is love. In Christ, you learn to let things go. I really wish I knew the song. And I'm not going to ask y'all to sing it because it would be completely inappropriate. But in my mind, right now, I've just got the song from Frozen going on. Let it go. Let it go. Your past can't hold you back anymore. I think that's how it goes. But you know what? I know that I was a far way off from God. I know that my sin separated me from Him. I was like Adam. I didn't go searching for it. I didn't go looking for Him. When I looked at myself, just like Adam, I went and I hid myself because I was ashamed. But even in my hiding, I heard a voice. Donnie, Donnie, where are you at? Well, I'm ashamed. Who told you? Don't you know that I am lovesick about you? Well, don't you see my shame? Don't you know that I'm in love with you? Don't you see what I did in my past? Don't you know how hard can I get it through to you? I love you. Well, what about Donnie? Let it all go. And just let it go. And rejoice in the fact that you're in my presence. Since when is the presence of Jesus not enough? because in His presence is fullness of joy. In His presence is peace evermore. In His presence is unconditional love. And He proved it. Book of Acts, and I'm closing. In the book of Acts, Stephen is being stoned. And he lifts up his eyes to heaven. And he asks for his accusers to be forgiven. And then he says, "And lay not this sin to their charge." That must be the hardest prayer to pray in the world. Not only do I want them forgiven, I don't want you to hold them accountable. Now, I understand the law of the harvest. You reap what you sow, and God does not violate His principles ever. And even in all of that, He still shows love. He still shows mercy. And He still shows grace. I'm lovesick for Him. And I know that He is lovesick for me. If we could all stand this morning. Sister Jody, can you put up Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 8 for me? I charge you, Moss Bluff Pentecostals. I charge you. If you find my beloved, if you find Jesus before I do, if you get to Jesus before I do, if you talk to Jesus, if you see Jesus, if you see Him, will you tell Him that I'm lovesick for Him? Will you let Him know that I'm crazy about Him? Just let Him know that I love Him. I love Him so much. There's nothing more important. Oh yeah, stretch it out there, bud. Braden, I'm going to make a promise to you. Your daddy's not going to hold grudges. Your daddy's not going to be bitter. Your daddy's going to do everything in his power to forgive. Because I want you to know that he's lovesick for Jesus. And there's nothing more important in your life. And there's nothing more that daddy wants for you than you for you to love Jesus with everything that's inside of you. I want you to love Jesus. There's nothing more fulfilling than being in His presence. I want you to love Jesus more than anything. You may not do everything Daddy wants you to do. And you may not always make Daddy happy. But there's nothing more important. There's nothing that Daddy wants more than for you to love Jesus. If that is your prayer, if that's what you want, if that's what you want for your family, I'm opening up these altars for anybody who says, you know what? I want to love Jesus with everything. And I want to get rid of anything that's going to stop me.